Thank you for joining today. Episode 2, Upset Talk, here with Lily. In Berlin at a rainy day, we had the thunderstorm just before. Like, it's a classic thing in Berlin. every day, like, this is our summer.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah, it's crazy. So my update is that I have to work for the next 7 days, more than 24 hours per day, and finish some works that I've been working on for many years, like many years, almost some of them even a decade. But yeah, it's like, but I never decided that they're ready, like big portraits. It's a series of works, and because we are preparing for a big show, there are a lot of people who can actually work on this project. So yeah, it's like, for me it's like a bit of stress. Not about curating, for me, for this I don't have stress, but about finishing the works, because I'd never think that they're finished, and you know, the same thing, I don't know.
I think that is a struggle for most painters, because I think most of us are perfectionists when it comes to our own artwork, and I know for myself, I work on something and I want it to look exactly how it exists in my head, and until it gets to that point, I really don't stop. And so I really empathize with you with trying to decide, okay, is this done, is it not?
It has to be done. I have to show something. Now I'm booked, right?
Yeah. So. Currently I am working with oils, and I am doing a series of portraits to portray emotions and trying to use the human body as a vessel to symbolize the, I guess, innermost thoughts that I have. And this has been a theme that I've been working with for probably since the beginning of uni, actually. So it's just progressively gotten.
Is it the ones that we have in front of us? Like,
yes.
So it's like, for example, this one?
Yes. That one is my most current piece I'm working on. It is not done. It is three colors, Naples, burnt sienna, and burnt umber. And I like working with these three colors because it's simple, but it also provides a very warm gold tone. So I have stuck to using those colors.
How much are you going to work on it?
I don't think that it's quite done. There are there's depth I want to create from the background to her, and if you can see like her hair and chest area, I want to keep that bright, but I also want to add in more detail, and I'm trying to be very delicate with those choices. And so she's not finished yet, but here we are talking about the struggle with finishing artwork. She's close, mm-hmm. but she's not done.
Does it matter who she is in, as a person?
It is a self-portrait. A lot of my work is a self-portrait, and it's odd because I don't really like using myself as a subject, but every time I go to create, I want to imitate my own feelings, and I am the human I am most familiar with. So it ends up being kind of a self-portrait in a sense. I don't think she looks exactly like me, but she's me.
Because yeah, probably it was not supposed, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be recognizable that it's you. It's just some, I don't know, maybe you have the same thing, but I do take photos of myself, and I use parts of me because I'm there. I'm the only one always there.
Yeah.
It's convenient. But sometimes maybe it matters. I don't know. It's the personal connection that you have. Like, you have some kind of emotional reaction by looking at yourself.
I think that when I make art and it is of me and things that I want to address inside of myself. It has this very odd kind of, how do you say, polarity with, I feel so far from myself, but when I make the art, I feel closer. So it provides this link to myself that I don't know that I would achieve if I didn't make art. And that is why I'm so passionate about pursuing this as a career and making this a part of my daily life. And I'm sure you can relate to trying to create pieces that you feel you connect to. And
do you take photoshoots for other people? From other people to use in your works? Does it matter? I would say about my work, because I should do a series of portraits, right? And the first question is, in this particular work, do you spend more time painting the face or the things around it?
I'd say the things around it. It changes based on the piece that I'm working on. I struggle with facial proportions and structure and lighting. So faces are really difficult, and the emotion to show in the face is very difficult. So I would say I spend a lot of time on the face, but for this one, I actually have spent more time on the surrounding environment because of how detailed it is and how dark I want it to be. And I've done it through glazing and layering the colors. I didn't immediately slap like
it's gonna
the
take
dark
time.
Colors. Yeah.
It's going to take time to dry.
Yeah. I don't know though. Berlin is so dry. I find that my oil paints, they only take about a couple of days to dry, which is nice, I guess.
If we see also the other ones that you are working on, the other ones are ready or?
Yes, done? Okay, they are done.
This is the previous one probably, or right?
Yes, I did this particular painting in December of 2022. And it was the largest oil painting I had done, 2 by 3 meters. And I used the same colors that I mentioned with the previous painting.
Unframed, without, not because?
Correct. I did not frame it because in the space I was working in, I only had a month. So I knew I had to be really quick with what I made. And I asked permission to nail the canvas to the wall and they let me. So that's what I did. I bought the biggest roll of canvas I could find. Is it Bosner? And then I nailed it to the wall and then just painted on it. That one is 100 by 100 centimeters. I named it Le Vion Rose. And the name is supposed to be the complete opposite feeling that the person is having. So the poem, the song, Le Vion Rose, I think embodies this like warm romantic feeling, you know, life through rose colors. And this figure is looking at a life that could potentially have those colors. And that's why I used rainbow tones. It's like you can see the light that she's looking at reflecting on her face, but the environment she's in has her captured, I guess, and she's struggling. So like she can see something bright and beautiful in the future, but currently she can't have it. So she can see it, but she doesn't have it. That's the embodiment of that particular piece.
You like always a little bit of chaos.
Yeah.
Like elements. And I get back to my question to reply. For me, I use photos. I actually put people to pose for me. I usually don't do myself, or when, like, I mean, I have a lot of portraits. Most people don't recognize that it's me there because I alter myself a lot, my face a lot. But in the latest series that I'm working for the last few years, it's female models. They pose for me, so I can't be there.
Yeah.
Not yet, at least. For me, it doesn't matter who they are depicted. They are like normal people. and it's some kind of characteristic that I liked, that found it interesting, and then it works for me to serve to this series of work. It's like a specific project about digital images and digital filters, and how do they affect the perspective of an artist in a way. It affects us, for example, when we are blurring, for example, in a painting. And now a visual artist right nowadays, they think in a way in the blurriness, a digital blurriness, the Gaussian blur or something like that from Photoshop or the filters that you have. But probably in the past, before the digital era, they were thinking more of the lens blur, right? So when they had distortion, they distort the mirrors, and then they make these images modernists, right? A lot. Mm. And nowadays, when you want to distort an image, you don't go find a mirror. You just put it in Photoshop and you distort it again with Liquify.
So it's not a matter of getting it in camera at that point. It's using the technology to manipulate an image the way you want it to look, which is quite useful, but I think it changes the intimacy with the process of making an image. And a question for you, do you think that you enjoy the digital aspect of being able to alter an image, or do you like to try and really do that without a lot of help from Photoshop?
I don't like digital life. I don't like the digital art, even though I have to do it. And I think I'm good at it. But yeah, I like the physical part. And the only, like, I try to keep it on the minimum. Like, parenthesis, in this series of works that I'm preparing now, I'm just trying to showcase this kind of thing. Like, this is the subject matter. Digital effects. And then, okay, can you find it? I make it obvious, but can you spot it? And then it's in a way you are aware of this. You're aware of the digital things, and they're not so interesting in a way. It's the portrait itself, the painted version of it is better, but the effect itself is nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So you are aware of it, and then you decide if it's good or bad. I think most people would like, I don't like digital effects. I don't like the filters on Instagram. I don't like all of these things. I like a little bit more raw. And in digital life, there is no raw. Mm-mm. Everything, even the raw image in the camera, is a specific edit, you know?
Well, and to piggyback off of that, I think that there's this weird struggle that visual artists have. If you stick to painting, drawing on paper, canvas, versus drawing on an iPad or using Procreate or a digital drawing utensil, because you can't just hit delete. You have to really take your time with a piece, plan it, and execute it, and then reevaluate if it doesn't look the way you want it to. Whereas digital provides this forgiveness that real materials don't provide. And there's, I think, something so beautiful about sticking to the canvas, paper, paint tradition, because when you go to a museum and you look at the art on the walls, those people had no technology that we have now, of course, and their art was insanely amazing. Very, no matter what style, you know, the secessionists are who I'm thinking about, but in particular, the way that they collaged the human body with graphic design almost before technology was a current reality for them, I think took such creativity and discipline. And I think one thing that I, as an artist, really appreciate and try to take time with is that intimacy with drawing, sketching, planning, and then creating the work. And I don't really enjoy just digitally creating things because it doesn't feel like I'm connecting to myself as much. How do you feel about that?
Of course, like we did an exhibition also here, drawings, some watercolors, and we had also some digital prints. Yeah, there is a difference. Even you even work on something a lot, you know, the traditional painting or traditional drawing somehow excites your senses more. Like, and then the printed one is more simple, you know.
Yeah.
The color range is, even though it's supposed to have, you know, good quality of ink, somehow it doesn't feel so. Feel in comparison next to each other, one of them looks boring.
Yeah.
Right. So even though there is work, if you see it, the thing is, if you see it digitally, like on the monitor and the screen, you might not understand. But if it's in front of you, there is like, yeah, one of them is really rich, the other one is really, really boring. And that's a, once you experience that, you don't cannot switch back.
Right.
I know this is how I feel also. It's strange.
I think that digital art is something I really admire. I am not good with digital art. I actually have graphic design experience. I worked as a graphic designer. I've worked with Illustrator and things like that. But when it comes to making 3D art or digital art through these programs and platforms, I'm actually horrible at it. Like I get very impatient and I never took the time to learn. And I worked as a graphic designer for about 8 months and decided I hated it and switched my major to art history and fine arts. And I don't regret that decision at all. I had no idea what my life was going to look like because of that decision, but I wouldn't trade it because for me, if you don't enjoy the process, then what's the point? But I do admire people who spend that time educating themselves and who can create things digitally, because some people are really talented and they create really lovely work. But for me personally, it's not something that I enjoy spending time with. I don't know.
I do also storyboards. I do, as a freelancer, I do illustration for animation studios, for game studios, backgrounds and stuff. But I don't like it so much. You know, I just do it because I have to. Sometimes you need some money.
Yeah.
And you have to learn. You learn a little bit of coding. You learn a bit of animating. You learn a bit of everything. You learn everything to survive. I also work in a restaurant washing dishes.
It's the artist's life. I relate to that so much because I think one reason I get so excited every time I meet another artist, especially someone who prioritizes it as a main way of life for themselves, is that we've all experienced the struggle, like capital T-H-E struggle, because we have to get creative with, okay, I'm not going to immediately sell this work and live off of it, but I want to spend every day doing this. So how am I going to survive monetarily in this world of capitalism? And I have worked in restaurants. I've done service industry jobs. And it's funny because I always have multiple jobs. I don't ever have one singular job. So I guess that's just the artist.
So you think you're not going to stop?
Am I ever going to?
To stop being an artist.
Oh.
The artist's life.
I would die. That's so dramatic, but it's so true. I can't imagine not chasing this, because as much as it hurts sometimes, what would hurt worse is to give it up, I think, because I see how other people live, and no one else in my family is an artist, and I've never had anyone to kind of guide me or mentor me in this lifestyle. But I always knew this was what I wanted to do. This is who I am, and I have not stopped. And I actually am doing my first, I guess technically it's my second art residency. And sometimes I still have imposter syndrome about it, where I'm like, I'm not an artist. Like, who am I? What am I doing with my life? But at the same time, when I was working in a restaurant about a year ago, back in my hometown, I was at the hostess station at the front of the restaurant, and this little girl at a table behind me had drawn a picture for her mom and showed it to the waitress at the table. And she was like, I'm going to be an artist when I grow up. And I don't know what happened, but it's like this switch in me flipped. And I realized, like, oh my gosh, like that was me as a little kid. And look what I'm doing now. And it made me so sad. Like it tore something in my heart. And that's when I was like, okay, this is go time. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to find a way to be a full-time painter. And somehow a little over a year later, I am doing that. And I'm extremely grateful that life has given me this opportunity. But I think as artists, we all have to kind of lean on each other for that support, because we have these periods. I think a lot of us have these periods of time where we don't get to create, but we're watching other people on social media create. And so we have this envy, like, oh, I should be that productive. I should be making art all the time. Or my art isn't that good. How am I going to get as good as I want to be? And that's when I think it's very important to reach out to other artists and spend time with other creatives, because those people are going to teach you how, and they're also going to encourage you. And it took me a long time to realize that the people who I sought counsel in were going to change how my future looked, because previously I was talking to people about what I wanted to do, and it just kind of, I guess, didn't seem realistic to them. So they just kept discouraging me and saying, like, well, maybe you should get a salary job, or maybe you should just settle down for a few years until you're stable and then do this. And all I could think was, I can't wait. Like, I don't want to wait to make art. And I guess that's impatience, but I'm kind of happy that I was impatient, because now I'm here and I get to talk to people like you who see the world in a really different way and try to be introspective and create things that connect them to, I guess, life. And yeah, that's something really amazing.
I feel bad that I could have more in life. I'm not dumb. I have the skills, but just don't want to take the decision.
I know what you mean, because for us, the priority is different than I think most other priorities that people have. And by that, I mean, some people prioritize making the most money through a corporate ladder so that they can provide for a wife, kids, whatever, or maybe just a better life for themselves. But my priority personally is painting and doing what I've dreamt of doing since I was 3 or 4 years old. So I know that by this time I could be settled in a very nice job back home, be living with roommates back home and saving money. But there was something inside of me, almost this other person. Like, it's like if my life is a car, I'm sitting in the passenger seat and my alter ego is like at the wheel and it just keeps driving. And I'm like, where are we going? And it just drove me here. And I'm like here for the ride, I guess. But I really admire people like you, that you have, I'm sure, these moments where you feel alone in your struggles with, okay, how do I make this work for myself? And is this worth it? But that's what makes you a strong person, because you're not following the same pattern that everyone else is just for the sake of comfort and safety. You're really putting yourself out there. And I guess my question for you is, Do you feel like your success as an artist depends on whether or not you sell your art? Like, does it affect how you feel about your art?
When I came in Berlin 9 years ago, I thought I have to make money out of this. You know, I started this and I can make some other things for additional income. But yeah, in the end, I come from a family of artists. You know, we know that it's going to be tough. In a way, you have a long-term goal. You know that, yeah, maybe a few years I might do something else. Like during the day, I can, you know, be a barista or something like that. It's okay. Everyone did this. The problem is, in a way, I think we know that we're going to make money out of it. I don't know how much, but we're going to make some money out of it. We can survive, but we don't know when.
Mm.
5, 10, 20 years from now. Most artists know it. If they keep doing it, they can make some money out of it somehow. The thing is, can you wait that long? Because you don't know exactly when it's going to happen.
It's a waiting game.
Yeah. So are you say, okay, like if it's going to, are you going to take the bet? The risk of waiting that long without making enough money to survive. And yeah, it's also where you are, when, with whom you're talking to. It's also a chance, you know. It's PR. You have to be lucky a little bit. If you are staying at home, you have less luck, I think, nowadays.
So you think the key is being more social?
I feel like painting as a visual artist is not an established profession yet.
Yeah.
No one figured it out. We studied our profession, haven't figured it out. They don't know. Most people don't know. We pretend that we know how to make money, how to survive, but most people think they don't know.
We're just out here winging it.
It's not yet a profession.
And the funny thing about me is I have actually only in the past 2 years, actually three, I have only sold one painting. And the reason that one sold, I think, is because someone who had been to an exhibition that I was participating in really admired the piece, wanted to buy it, came to me, asked to buy it, and then bought it. And I am not very good on the business side of my art. And I'm almost worried that if I became good at that, that it would actually change my artwork. And I don't ever want to make art that feels like inauthentic, but I don't know if that's a healthy view or not.
That's silly. I have the same discussion also with a friend of mine. He's a stand-up comedian. Now he's saying that comedy should be pure, not be influenced by anyone. When you do, I help him host the comedy shows at various venues, and the owner of the venue, you know, always has a say on the title, on some of the jokes, if some of them are offensive, and he always disagrees. No, comedy should be freedom of speech, absolutely free. I said, that doesn't happen, you know, mm-hmm. In real life. Someone is giving you your space, will have a little bit of some say. It can put you a specific, you know, type. So you're never actually free. You're always influenced. Like, yeah, give an example. Also, there is a thing that someone commissions you a work and says, I want you to paint me this. Let's say it's a portrait, and then it has like a blue sky, and it tells you what it should have. Apart from that, you're free to do whatever you want. Then you make it. Are you free, or were you very constrained and you have no creativity in creating? Is it your work, or is it his work?
And I think at that point, certainly you are not the creative director. You are just the person with the paintbrush.
But almost always the person who's paying for something, at least, you know, they gonna give you some restrictions. Sometimes they give you not too much, not too many restrictions. The same thing is like with AI now. You go to Midjourney, these online tools, and you type what you want to be painted, and then you have it. But legally, there was one case. I don't know if it's going to be established also, this thing. The person who's typing is not actually the author, I think. I don't know.
That's wild. But it's also the whole concept of AI art is such a deep rabbit hole, because then it everything comes into question of like, okay, but who's the artist, and where were these images sourced from, and the whole copyright issue. Like, it is a mess, and I think that it's a good tool for artists to use, but I also think it's a cautionary thing.
We're gonna see a lot of AI art. Like, people, we're gonna just print it or overpaint it.
Well, and it's one of those things where a lot of people now have the opportunity where, if they couldn't make art before, or if they thought like, oh, I can't be an artist, now they have this tool where they feel like they can make art. And I think that the sad thing is they never stop to think, okay, but drawing is a skill that you work on, that you grow. Painting is something that you spend time on and you can grow through that. But they don't want to spend the time trying to be creative. They just want to take credit for the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a very egotistical thing. I don't think that that's the whole personality of AI art. I definitely think that that's like a small percentage, but I just think that it's kind of a weird tool. And like, I think that just like with Photoshop or digital platforms where you can edit on your laptop, on your computer, on your phone, it's really a good tool to have, really. But I think that you just have to use it sparingly.
There are two types of artists. There are those that they prefer to, you know, go to the formalistic aspect of it, you know, work on the how it's constructed and how it excites the senses. And then there's the other ones that they focus on the concepts, and they have really, you know, catchy ideas and a lot of ideas. They every day they work in new things. They said, and those ideas, they cannot be created well very quickly. And sometimes it doesn't matter. They're gonna use, for example, video art. This has to be really raw, really quite unedited and fresh. You're gonna use photography. It's gonna be really raw photography. You can use an old camera, because when they're gonna do painting, it's gonna be also very simple, not too much, just so exactly the concept that you wanted to use. I understand it. Of course, I don't agree. I'm not doing it. Like, at least for my work, I'm not doing it, but I understand why it happens. Those people, they have like this 1,000 ideas within a month, and they don't have the time, I think, to, you know, in order to learn to do just portraits, one type of the thing, you need decades to be acceptable because the standard is so high. So in order to differentiate from that, you just say, no, I just want to show you that person, you know, that person, or a raw photography. So it doesn't matter what it is, what is the material so much. It matters what you understand out of it. What is the concept? What is the sign? Right. So, but I understand why. In the same way, that is one extra tool for them, those people, to create a lot of images that they can use it. They can use also photos of when in the park in the day, like from the 90s, 2000s, it had these digital effects, everyone was just copying, printing the digital effects from these editing tools, right? These mosaics, and there are a lot of hundreds or thousands of artists that just applied one effect and then print it on the canvas.
Well, and for me, I do think that, like, I'm glad I live in a modern age, because I think that when I'm struggling with a certain part of my art, I can kind of reference images online, Pinterest, something, and then kind of get an idea of what I need to change visually in my own creation. So there is, like, this really good aspect to having access to all of that. And I certainly utilize, like, a lot of the online tools, but that's not the major process for my work. And it is interesting how you said that there's a theme of either concept versus process for artists. And I think a lot of times I get so caught up in the concept I want to achieve that the process stays the same, but the concept changes for the painting.
It's sacrificed.
Yeah. And it's almost, I don't want to say, it's like each time I do the process, I try to get better at the process. And I've experimented with different things, and I love to experiment, but I keep coming back to oil painting. And I think I actually had a professor in university one time, I can't remember who, say that you always return to what you started with art. And I think that for me, when I was 15, I started painting with oils, and I've gotten away from it, but I've always returned. Like, I've always circled back to oils. And so it's a familiar process for me.
Have you ever been disappointed by an artwork that you finished? Disappointed by the reaction of the people that they saw it, or lack of reactions?
Yes. I think that for me, when I make art, I make sure that I make it to represent a feeling that I have. And it feels very vulnerable sharing that with the world, because you can get a very weird mix of reactions. I've had people say, wow, this really resonated with me, and I really admire this, and that feels great. But then I've had people tell me that I need to delete something that I posted, or that it's too dark or something. Like, in their opinion, it shouldn't be shared with the public. And that's what makes me second guess myself, because then I'm like, oh no, like, did I offend someone? Did I, like, make something bad? But at the same time, I think that you live in a world of opinions. There's no way you're going to escape opinions from people. But yes, it has affected me.
But was there any specific work that you can tell us?
Was it,
for example, a portrait? Was it a nude?
It was a nude self-portrait. Maybe that's what got the reaction. But this was probably 3 years ago. And my artist brain was thinking, I'm making art. And nude bodies are just bodies. And then I shared it, and it was not well received. And so then I had to reevaluate, like, oh, did I do something wrong here? But I think as an artist, I find anatomy fascinating, and I also find it to be a very communicative, is that a word? Vessel for me. So I really like to use nudity as a vulnerability thing. But I think, like, it's very normal to want to draw a nude human body or paint a nude human body. But I think something weird happens when you personalize it, I guess. But It wasn't my intention when I started the project.
I have a series of work that I want to do it that something like that. It's like portrait that the person is nude. So you like, but it matters who you see. Like this specific person that I may probably met. I know I have some people that can do it, right? And then it's half naked or but naked sitting down, right? Full body. But that the then it's a portrait. The face is fully drawn. It's a type of art. Usually you don't do it when you're gonna do a nude full body. You focus on the body and then it doesn't matter for the face. But in this case, I like this kind of experimentation because you have this kind of relationship between the image, the face, and the body. And sometimes it's not only the pose, the action. Someone is sitting, someone is smoking, but it's also the eroticism, right? That it has three things happening. And this kind of play, you can have an idea of what kind of play it can have. Everyone can think of their own logic. And I find it interesting, exciting. You said about the social media and posting stuff, the algorithm doesn't like nudes. You are shadow banned when you're posting any kind of nude, even if it's drawing. In some cases, TikTok doesn't allow even in drawings. It's instantly, automatically removed. But on X, Twitter, you actually get nothing. You get shadow banned, you get zero impressions by the algorithm. It's a very strange thing. And that happens because somehow it's offensive, even if it's painting, even if it's art. So they don't show it. And I think that most people, even though they like to see it, they don't want to admit it. And then they feel guilt. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You go to a museum and you see all these nude sculptures and you're okay. And then, yeah, when you scroll, probably you don't want that. I don't know. I accept that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Because I had a big series of works that is nude and then say, no, now what? I can't even show it somewhere. Right.
I feel like this beautiful piece can only be experienced in person. But, you know, you were talking earlier about the whole, you're always influenced and how I think it's interesting how I think I can escape being influenced when I have had experiences where I've made art and whether it's the symbolism, the colors, the visuals, somebody doesn't like it. And then I feel shamed. And then I feel self-conscious. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, like I should have never shared that with the world. And I have to hide all of my art now. And I think that that voice is fear. And one thing that artists, I think, struggle with is the fear of sharing. We can always create, but what you choose to open up to the world and give to people, that's what's vulnerable, I guess. And I really applaud people who just ignore all of that feedback and they just keep doing what they want. And I'm trying to be on that journey, but I've noticed that I really only draw nude bodies now if I'm going to a nude drawing session. And in my paintings within the past like maybe 2 years, you only see a nude body suggestively. Like I'll use elements to suggest nudity, but you won't see an entire nude body.
Yeah, and what's that? In the end, I get it. Like you do compositions, like complicated compositions with a lot of elements. So you don't see only this. It's like it's lost within the scene. The alternative also is like when you have clothes on someone, it's what kind of clothes. The clothes always indicate something. So yeah. So then is a lot of then. In this case, if I do a piece that I will have, there will be clothes in the portrait series. They have clothes. I spend a lot of time finding the right amount of clothes and altering the clothes from the photo shoot or, you know, what I had, like changing the pattern absolutely if it doesn't fit. And I might spend like a whole year changing the clothes again and again, erasing, putting another clothes on there. So, but when someone is nude, it's okay. Is that it? It's a simple solution to me. And this is sometimes you have to understand what you want to show. If I want to show someone sitting down, it's, I don't know, it's a bit, a whole, for me, it's a matter of decision. It's not a default that someone has to wear clothes. It is not like, yeah, it's an everyday scene. It's not an everyday scene. Everything you see on my canvas is like artificially decided that it should be there.
Yeah. It's a conscious decision.
Yeah. Every element I remove or I add stuff, it's empty. So every time I say, okay, on the background, there is this element, maybe. Should it be there or not? So it's absolutely altered and deformed. And in a way, it's a collage.
Yeah.
So,
and do you think that you try to steer away from making nude work, or do you just...
It's 50-50. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no distinction to me, but if I want to... In my mind, everything is project-based. So I have some ideas. I try to make a series out of it that is... Like when I graduated, I was doing every piece of work was totally different. And that was very bad because no one could understand what I was doing, you know. But when, in order for people to get what you're doing, they have to see it in a series somehow. This is how people work. You have to see it again and again and again and again. Oops, not really. Again and again. And then you get what you were trying to do. Even if you have one painting that you work with a lot of details, people will skip it. Yeah. Will not spend time on one work, but they will spend time in an exhibition space where they're surrounded by it. So it's a kind of, I like to have only one work. Everything is there, it's very convenient. I like to have a work that has all the information there, and to me it doesn't feel unfinished. But it's also, I'm influenced by how most people see the works in the gallery space. And I have to create works for that format, in a way.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? And this is actually makes me also make my schedule and my workflow.
And on the whole subject of context and giving people kind of an understanding of your work through many creations, not just a singular work, do you ever struggle with planning your portfolio, or does it just occur naturally for you?
When at this point I have a lot of works, and I have the option at least to decide what I'm going to have in my main portfolio and what I want people to see that I'm doing. Even though I know I might paint some abstract works, I might do some landscapes, I will do some other stuff. But I don't choose to list it online, so people don't think that I'm doing this. I do storyboards. I do some illustrations for commissions. It's just for money. I don't show that because I don't want people to associate that I'm doing this. So the more you go, the more you have options to decide how people see what you do. Yeah. And that's the thing. When you start, of course, you don't have this option. And then, you know, you have to show some of the stuff you're making, even though you're not so satisfied. But it actually matters really well. If people see on your Instagram account on the first page that you are doing, I don't know, you're dancing, let's say, people will think that you're not a visual artist. They will think that you're a dancer.
Context.
Yeah. So you always need to care, like, what is the first thing, the first impression when they scroll on your portfolio, your website, your Instagram. This initial thing, you will not have a second chance to change their view. I had like many people that know me for many, many years, and still they don't know that I'm a painter.
Wow.
They follow me, they see my posts, and still they say, ah, you're a painter. It's like they saw my work here in the last week.
Wow.
They didn't think, because probably the one time that they just opened my profile, they just didn't see their paintings, so the thought that I'm not a painter.
Well, and you're involved in a lot, so maybe it just got lost in all of the things that you do.
And the one more question. Do you have some of the works that are, or do you have a work, an artwork that is hidden that you never showed to anyone?
Yes.
And what is it?
It is a portrait of me, of course. And it is something that I've made, I guess, in a depressive episode. And it feels a little too close to home to share with anyone. So it just, it sits buried. But I think that a lot of artists have at least something that they've sketched or made that they don't want the world to see. And that's when you know you made it really for yourself and you wanted to understand something or address something, I guess. But yes, yes, I do.
Is it, what is it disturbing to you? The fact that that is not very well painted, or the memory? What do you think is
for
the
me,
reason why is it hidden?
For me, it feels too, I'm afraid that if I shared it with the world that I would either be judged or psychoanalyzed by people. And I don't want either one of those. So I just tucked it away. I don't know. Do you ever have that fear when you make anything?
There are some things that I do, some drawings and some, most of the time they're nudes, the experimentations. I usually do nudes. I do a lot of live drawing sessions also. And then I try to paint it also afterwards at home. And I do a lot of stuff that I find it quite interesting, a little bit rough. And if I saw it online or someone afterwards, it's going to lose this magic that it has to me. And sometimes, you know, is people will just ignore it, and then as then it affects me. It feels like, okay, it's not magic anymore.
Oh, it has a euphoria when you make something where you feel like you really connect to it in the moment. And I understand wanting to keep that to yourself and not really let anyone kind of, you know.
It's like a joke. You find a joke, you laugh at, and then you say it, no one laughs.
Yeah, and then you're like, well, it's not funny anymore. Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, this is the thing that I won't, if a joke is so good, and I know that there are some jokes, I have a very strange sense of humor. I know some jokes I should never tell to anyone. They will not laugh. But I don't know, they are only made for me.
Yeah. I feel like comedy is probably just as tricky as visual art, because then you have to deal with like sensitivity and things like that, and you're like, ooh, like that might be offensive.
It's really hard when you bomb. You have instant feedback of your work. If people bombed in the same way, like bomb in the way, you know, maybe some people don't know, when you tell a joke and no one laughs in the audience, that's bombing. And if this happened, it's exhibition openings or with live audience, or artists wouldn't handle it.
Yeah.
They would commit suicide on the spot.
No, my thing is like people can critique my work, and I'm always like, please critique my work, it'll make me a better artist. But then someone will say something and I'll literally brew over it for like a week and be like, my art is shit. I'm gonna cry.
It better go away from your mind. It will stay there for a year.
Yeah.
So before we do the rest, who are you? Why are you in Berlin?
My name is Lily, and I'm in Berlin because this city is full of inspiration for me as a visual artist. And coming from a small southern town in the US, Berlin offers me things I couldn't really experience back home. So I came to Berlin to find more inspiration for myself, and there is plenty of it.
Nice, nice. How long have you been in Berlin?
So this trip, I have been in Berlin for about a month, and the last time I was in Berlin, I was here for about 4.5 months, and I came in the deep, dark depths of the Berlin winter. So I was here from early November through February of this year, and now I'm back. So I just seem to come whenever the cold weather is about to hit. But I'm happy I got to experience some of the warm, rainy Berlin summer.
So, but you're here to paint.
Absolutely. That is my whole entire reason for returning. And every time I'm in the city, I feel like my true artistic self.
Next month? From tomorrow? 1st of September. But the Berlin Art Week is mid-September, 13th to 17th, I think, of September. At that time period, we are doing a big exhibition, and we have a lot of visual artists here in Berlin. It's very exciting. I will try to document and post online, maybe even on the Obsev project.
That's super exciting.
Some stuff on the social media, and probably a little bit more on the YouTube channel, because now you have the shorts, the reels, and you can actually, this is the thing with the YouTube is, it was long format, and now with this you can actually post short format and more raw images on the process. A lot of artists applied. It's going to be the art presentation, and it's a very rare chance for us to exhibit. I will exhibit like a lot of works, and didn't have this opportunity. No one gave me opportunities, to be honest. No one from the art field gave me opportunities.
And so you made an opportunity for yourself.
This is what we do.
Yeah. gotta make it.
Yeah. Like it's 9 years. It didn't happen. Oh. How long should I wait?
Yeah. I think that you made the right choice. Like, well, fuck that. I'm not waiting.
Yeah, even now that the opportunity came, it was not the best timing. But I said, you know, it's been 9 years.
That's the artist way, right? We don't wait around for people. We just make it happen.
Yeah. It's sad, but it's sad that we don't collaborate so much with each other. It's competitive for no reason. This is why I give opportunity to others, so I don't repeat the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, and artist community is such an important thing to have. And I really like that I found that here in Berlin, because I, for so long, did not feel like I really had that, even at university. I kind of did, but not really. And I had a couple of art friends-ish. But I was mostly just friends with like a professor or two. And then when I came to Berlin, it was like there were creative people everywhere. It was like I was so excited because I've met musicians, fashion designers, everything you can imagine. And now that I'm socializing more with other visual artists, I have more confidence in myself. And that is why I agree with you on the competitive aspect really is an illusion, and I don't think that it needs to be a competitive thing, because everyone has their own perspective that they're bringing to the table. No one's you, so there's no real competition there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm excited for
I agree.
I'm excited for Berlin Art Week, though. Be my first one.
It's gonna be fun. Yeah. It's gonna be a full month of events. So thank you for listening. Do you want to say something?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. And I really look forward to seeing everyone during Berlin Art Week.
Nice. Thank you.
Bye.